Is it for real? We used to love it, then we watched it, now we don't know if we like it. Is it for real?
You are listening to Is It For Real?
Real.
Real, spelled R-E-L. Formerly, Doesn't Hold Up. Formerly, Real World Rush Rush.
You know what I was thinking?
What's that?
I know we have to introduce ourselves, but that real... is it for real and Real World Westeros share real?
Oh, I didn't make that connection.
So it's
neither.
Yeah. I wonder if we could get the real to be in the font of of Game of Thrones. I don't know. Whatever. We'll talk about this at a different time.
I'll talk to our art director.
Yeah.
So anyway,
hi, I'm Bridget.
Hey.
I'm introducing myself first this time.
Oh man.
I'm pointing it.
I'm Katie.
And I'm Philip. And what movie did we watch and you are our friendly listeners listening to right now?
Crocodile Dundee
3, Lost in LA.
Oh man, I was so nervous I was going to watch the wrong movie. I had a whole thing played out in my head for if I did.
But no, we all watched the first one, correct?
Yes. Clarification, though, is number 3 Lost in L.A.? There's a 2 that's something different, and then a 3 is in L.A.?
There's 2 that is like deals with like drug dealers, and they return to Australia for most of it for craziness. Okay. Then the third one, which I've never seen, is in L.A., although I watched the trailer for it after watching Crocodile Dundee last night.
I was so confused watching this movie because, spoiler alert, halfway through they go to New York and I thought that that was reserved for like subsequent sequels.
Me too.
Yeah. So I was like, what? Like they leave Australia? Yeah.
I was I thought the second one was like Crocodile D lost in New York.
Right. Right. When he's like walking, I guess it's kind of iconic when he's like walking with the hat through the New York crowd. But anyway, it was fascinating to watch this movie of like what I thought it was about versus what it was about.
Same. Well, I have so many things to say about that. Because I've never seen this movie before.
Yeah. Great time to go into your levels. Mm-hmm. So since you started off, Katie, what is your level for Crocodile Dundeeness?
I'm a crocodile embryo, like Bridget. I had never seen this movie before. I was familiar with some of the line, like I'm going to give myself a "this is a knife" rating because that line people have quoted, and I knew that line, but same. Almost nothing else.
I knew nothing about this movie. I'm going to give myself. Wow. A side boob rating because I didn't even know there was a woman in this movie. I thought this was a movie about a man fighting crocodiles for 2 hours.
I'm the same.
That's why I've never watched it.
I'm excited to see or to listen to y'all's opinions about this. My level would be a Wally level just because I'd forgotten how many times I've actually seen this movie. Because it's been a while, but I think I watched it a ton when I was a kid. And so I know all of Crocodile Dundee's tricks and trades. So I had a lot of eye rolls and stuff whenever he pulled out anything from a slight con to assault. So, which I'm sure we'll get into.
Right.
Later.
It's wild. Also, the movie was written by the actor of the movie.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it really comes through if you sort of know that he made himself the most irresistible man in the world.
I guess that makes sense. It was
also really likable and
totally, totally charming. It was also like 1986.
Yep.
Which was good to note, I guess, in just the context.
This may be information you know, but I thought I would just start us on a bummer. That the actor who played the smarmy boyfriend, Mark Blum, died of the coronavirus recently.
Oh, God. No, I didn't know that.
Yeah. My researcher told me that today. You look on his Wikipedia page and it says that he passed away in March from the coronavirus in New York.
Whoa. How old was he?
In his 60s.
He's in his 60s, is what you said?
I think. Late 50s, early 60s.
Had he been in anything else? I didn't really recognize him.
He was born in 1950.
Okay.
Late 60s.
Good Lord. Well, yeah, that's like literally the biggest bummer.
Yeah.
That exists.
And he's like in the very first scene, basically. So I was like, oh, well, that's timely. Sad.
Yeah. We shall dedicate this podcast to him.
Mark Blum.
Very, very meager.
Yeah. Totally. Honor, totally. Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
He's very good at playing an 80s smarmy
A-hole. Oh, what a D-bag. Oh, my God.
Usually the people that are the best at playing those are actually the nicest people. So yeah. I'm sure he probably was really
I would
nice.
I would totally believe that. Another weird, like, hummer bummer is that the woman, the protagonist, who literally, I don't know what her name is, and Paul Hogan were,
Sue?
Like, married. The blonde woman.
She What's has
Sue. Oh, I thought you said who. Sue? Like, the woman. Sue and Crocodile Dundee were married in real life for, like, years and years. His, Paul Hogan's romantic history is, like, fascinating. Like, he was married to one woman for 32 years, but on and off, on and off. Like, they got divorced and married, and then he met this woman, the blonde woman from the movie, Sue, and they were married until 2014 when they decided to get divorced, which is always amazing to me because he's like 80. So I guess he got divorced at like 75, which is fine. Great. It was just really interesting reading his Wikipedia page.
He wasn't able to fight crocodiles anymore, and so she dumped him.
She ditched him. Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Well, should we get into it?
Yeah, let's do it.
The very first thing you see is a shot of the Twin Towers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A little weird, and then you know you're in the time period, of course. Oh, I wanted to say one other thing about the smarmy boyfriend, was that is such an 80 important character. I mean, there's always, like,
the editor.
A really, like, smart, sassy lady whose boyfriend is just the worst.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, like, a doofus comes along to take her away from him.
Yeah. Yeah, right? No, totally.
That is the plot of Hot Rod as well.
My first note for this movie is, isn't this an Australian movie? Because, like, I was so confused because, like, she was speaking in a, like, American accent, and so was the boyfriend. I was just like, what is this movie about? So yeah. And then she's, don't worry, I'm a New Yorker. She's gonna, like, follow
this. My first note was, is her hair that wet all the time?
Yeah. It was some wet hair at the beginning.
It's very wet. And then I was like, is that slick back? Is it wet?
It wasn't flattering.
No.
My first note was Lady Be Rich. I mean, she's going in on, like, helicopters, and she had that insane penthouse.
Yeah, the helicopter.
The Sydney Opera House. Yeah.
Oh, my God. To just follow this, like, story that there is, I guess, is intriguing. It's like a man in Australia fought a crocodile, which seems like not news in Britain.
I agree with you. I kept saying, like, what is this story about? Is it that important? And, like, I have some friends who are reporters, and they're not making that much money.
But you have to remember, she is the daughter of the owner of the paper.
Yeah,
so I realized later.
Right. It actually does make more sense later. When you're like, oh, right. She just gets to do whatever she wants, and it doesn't have to sell papers and whatever.
Her creepy dad came in. Ooh.
Yeah, I literally thought he was going to kiss her on the mouth.
Yeah, what was
the
that?
Way he was like, who's got a kiss for your dad? And she was like, not the mouth, not the mouth. And
they're also, like, the same age. It's, like, totally weird.
No, he's older than, Hulk. I almost said Hulk Hogan.
Oh, yeah.
Paul Hogan?
Yeah, Paul Hogan.
Yeah, Paul Hogan.
My next note is about the guy, is it Walt? Like, Crocodile Dundee's, like, Wally. Is he dressed in drag? Like, is he's wearing such a low cut t-shirt and, like, a scarf around his neck, and he has, like, a jacket on that's tied at the waist. He really looks like he's wearing a lady's outfit.
I never noticed that.
Maybe I don't think so. I think it's more of just sort of this.
It's just the cut. Of the
British Empire, lad sort of thing.
Yeah, maybe that's. It's more of like a soldier's cut. But I was like, "What is it?" It took me a long time to understand that character was not supposed to be queer, and then I had to kind of, like, reprogram my brain.
He had a really cute dog, though. That black and white dog.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it was a good dog.
Yeah.
I wrote down, we're pretty informal in the bush. That was Wally's line to her about how the world works.
Yeah. Yeah, we get a indoctrination into bush life, I guess.
Yeah, because they are supposed to be, like, so the first call comes from Sydney, or somewhere, right, in Australia. Mm-hmm. Melbourne, Sydney, like a major city. And Sydney. Then, like, and then she goes, like, walkabout town, or whatever it's called, is, like, really out there, right? Even that bar, like, even where she goes is out there, and then they go even farther into the outback.
Walkabout
Creek, thank you. Yeah.
Also, I just want to restate that this movie is just nothing like I thought it was. So.
Yeah, I thought we'd be watching, I actually watched it with Annie and her roommate Alyssa, and, like, I had to really convince them that this was not Steve Irwin. Like, I think they thought that we were going to be watching, like, they thought that the stunts with the animals were real. Like, that Paul Hogan was, like, this animal guy that got a movie. And I was like, no, I think he's, like, a Australian TV personality that got a movie. Like, this is for sure production value on how he's, like, making that cow sit down.
Lots of Frank Dark.
Yeah, so in the bar, right? And
get into to Mick Dundee,
Michael J. Dundee.
I know.
Like, that's a lot of Michael J's in the world, huh?
Fun fact, though, Michael J. Fox, I think his actual name is Michael A. Fox, but there was already a Michael A. Fox in SAG, so he picked Michael J. Fox. I don't know why I know that.
Mm. Wow, does the J stand for Michael J. Fox?
Well, nothing. I don't know. I think A. I don't know what the A stands for, I guess. I don't know. Who knows?
We'll save that one for Secret to My Success episode.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think I ever watched that one. I was doing some research on Back to the Future, and I looked at it.
Cool.
Well, there's some in the bar that Croc is like a poacher, and they kind of keep talking about it. And here's why I bring that up, because the entire movie, I was waiting for some sort of rising action or climax, which there was none.
Yeah.
There's no conflict. There was
that's in Crocodile Dundee too.
I've got notes about that later in the movie too.
What is this movie about?
It is a rom-com, meet cute, fish out of water.
Low-key rom, low-key com. But yes, yes. Fish out of water for sure. I was confused in the bar of, like, when he brought in that, like, clearly stuffed crocodile from the movie Hook. Like, I didn't know if we were supposed to believe that that crocodile was real. And I'm like, oh no, everybody realizes this is a stuffed crocodile.
Except for Sue, which is the first of 100 times we see her startled beyond reason.
Yeah.
For everything that happens in her life. She's like this tough, no nonsense, lipstick wearing lady until something scares her, and then she's too scared.
Right.
Yeah, Nora was not impressed with her damsel in distress stick constantly. Well, like sort of like a brassy lady, news reporter, but just at every turn she just sort of squeals and jumps on a chair.
And decides on the absolute wrong wardrobe for every situation.
Yeah.
Everything. I have so many wardrobe comments to make.
Well, the next note I have, but I don't know how quickly we want to leave the bar, but is like that scene where she's lounging on the boat looking like Jackie O. Yeah. And she's just an amazing time. And then he points at a crocodile and she freaks the F just, out.
Like, Nora said this, like, what was she expecting to see on this trip in crocodile waters?
That's what her whole...
And she sees what and just flips her shit.
It's what her whole story's about. We also were like, what is this story about? Like, what were they hoping, like, to find? It reminds me, there was, like, this Outside magazine, Phil. I don't even remember this, but it was in our bathroom for a long time. The one that, like, was about the crocodile that had, like...
Your bathroom?
Yeah. Oh, I definitely read that one.
Can we talk more about you sharing a bathroom?
So we shared a bathroom and we shared a lot of reading material throughout several years. And so there was this like, yeah, crocodile in Africa that was like eating tons of people. And it was like nuts. So I was like, maybe that's what she's writing about. Like, maybe that's what this article is going to end up being. But it just, it didn't feel like she had a plan for what she was. Yeah.
Anyway. Although we find out later that it's very popular article among the streetwalkers of New York City.
Everybody, all the prostitutes in New York know about it.
Yeah.
I want to go back to the bar really quick because there's a little moment where, you know, the guy who puts the beer on his head, right,
sure.
and Croc kisses him and he loses his shit. And that's kind of like, since this is it for real, right, we have to kind of like think about like the, that's like a first little moment of like
homophobia.
Croc's world where we see there's like, you know, he's on, men are men and women are women, right, because that comes out later.
Yeah.
Obviously. Yeah, for sure. I have a big question about that late wait. Good Lord. Yeah. Yeah. The bar actually looked kind of fun, but yeah.
Oh, no. It super looked fun. I would want to hang out there.
Yeah.
It reminded me of the bar in Roger Rabbit.
Yeah, totally.
It was like all these like dirty people who have like, are the misfits of the world hanging out together.
Yeah, it seemed like a misfit bar. I did like the, and this is like fairly realistic, I suppose, for like an outback town, like any kind of like desert like town where the sun is super strong. Like everybody was covered in like a layer of like dirt, like a film.
It never left Crocodile Dundee ever.
A lot of sun damage, a lot of dirt.
He was still covered in dirt.
Yeah, totally.
Maybe because he was washing his clothes in the bathtub. But.
Yeah. He's a mixed bag, that Mick Dundee.
He is.
But anyway, we'll talk about it in a bit. I know you wanted to talk about sort of the poaching side of it, Bridget.
Yeah.
But we'll when we get to the boat and stuff, we can chat about that. But yeah, so they jump in there, little awesome sort of
like John boat.
Dune buggy back road vehicle and go out there.
Oh, right. Some,
what's that?
No, yeah, he just does that trick with the cow.
Right. Yeah.
Makes the cow submit, which is like, this guy.
Like this, baby. It's thumb and pinky. Thumb and pinky. There you go.
Oh, what did I do? Horns. I did the horns.
No, that's too many fingers. Yeah. No. That probably would get the same result.
And then
we got sight gags on this podcast.
Although I gotta say, like, he takes the cow from standing in the way to lying in the way. So I don't know what the plan was after that, but he made him lay down, which is impressive.
I guess there was a danger that the thing would poke their tires if they drove around it, because, yeah, it definitely didn't look like it helped that much.
I have to say, maybe I'm really naive, and Phil, I don't know if you had this experience in Belize.
You are really naive, if that's the response.
That's all I want to know. I have to say, maybe I'm naive. Go on. That in Honduras, and in Panama for that matter, where I've like spent some time, I would often find bulls or cows like in the road like that, in the middle of the path. And No, I'm just saying that like maybe I didn't calculate the danger that I was in. The music in this movie implied that they were in like crazy danger. And I was like, I have been in that situation and I've never felt like, I mean, it's annoying because maybe you have to wait till they get out of the road, I guess, if you were in a car.
That was a really big bull, and it could have gored them.
I guess it could charge you. I guess it could. I mean, yeah, I think the answer is maybe
it could have just been gored.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm just crazy naive.
Then there's the other side of it, that a lot of this is a tall tale, and it's an exaggeration, and Mick is making things that should seem... that aren't actually dangerous seem dangerous. So
really,
you know.
Crazy. Yeah, that's true.
So Phil, you were mentioning, so then they get to the boat, right? With the teeth, the teeth marks in it. And there's no water there, right? But there was water there. Is that what he was implying? That like the water comes in and out?
Sure, yeah. Well, because yes. I will match Katie's story. And so I worked at a series of lagoons in Belize that actually did have crocodiles. And the water would fluctuate a lot. And random story, I was randomly walking around there, like chest deep alone in water, trying to like plot this stuff. And at this point, I didn't realize that we had crocodiles in the water there.
Nobody told you?
No one told me. And so I was out there like doing these GPS points, and I came back and they're like, oh yeah, got some. I was like, huh, that was not the safest thing I ever, ever did.
Rough.
But yeah, so the water level fluctuates around. They find his boat. They find that it has a lot of bullets in there, which I think, I mean, no big surprise considering he's wearing a crocodile vest and a hat adorned with crocodile teeth.
And a necklace with crocodile teeth. Right.
He's poaching crocodiles.
And he makes it really clear and kind of in a very believable way, actually, when she's like, oh, were you shooting crocodiles? And he's like, no, that's illegal. I was fishing. Like, it was actually kind of cool.
Yeah.
Then they get into like a very big political conversation by the fire. Yeah,
The next note I have is gay Nazis question mark. What is she talking about? She's talking about an ex-boyfriend of hers who protested everything, right? Like that's what they had in common, I guess. And then probably he's off protesting gay Nazis right now, which I don't understand what she's even...
I have this feeling that like the Paul Hogan was like, what's the opposite of me? Like something with people who care too much. Like I don't care at all.
Yeah.
Is that...
Which I could be mistaken, but I'm pretty sure that ex-boyfriend or ex-husband, I guess, comes back at the very beginning of Crocodile Dundee 2 and starts off the story.
Interesting.
Oh, wow.
That's cool.
So then he kills a snake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they camp with no tent.
That's
in
crazy.
Like yeah. the worst, like Australia is one of the scariest like places for wildlife. I cannot imagine putting my head in the dirt in an Australian night. It is nuts.
Also, she has her first outfit change into what I would describe as like a night jumper.
Mm-hmm.
I was like looking at her backpack and I was like, how many outfits did you put in there? Because she had a lot. And I'll talk about
it. It's all like silks and very thin fabrics that they can fit a bunch in there.
Her night jumper, right. Which is just like waiting for a snake to crawl up the pant.
It's just ill prepared for any of it.
She has so many mosquito bites on her side.
Oh, God, all of it. Fire ants, like
scorpions.
The next note I have, so is this when like kind of the gun, like the poachers or whoever comes, and then he like
the same poachers from the bar,
right? Yes the guy with the hat. Yeah, I noticed that. And then the and then Paul Hogan takes a dead kangaroo and props him up in between a tree, which makes it look like a character from Chuck E. Cheese. And then he like shoots from behind. And I just have a note that says like, this music doesn't match this gunfight, because the music is like from like Homeward Bound or something. Like it's like this inspirational, like, oh, thank goodness. Like we're all, it's so weird.
I love the music in this movie. I forgot. I mean, it's ingrained because I watched it so many times as a kid.
Okay. Yeah.
Once it starts those little like jangly guitar riffs. Oh, I love it. I love it.
Jeff had very strong feelings about the music too. And he's seen this movie 100 times.
Yeah.
Today while we were watching, he was like, man, the music in this movie is so good. So you guys.
I was having the exact same, I think, quote,
But so yeah, thank God he was there to kill them.
What's that?
I say, thank God he was there to scare them away, because...
Right, but I think he definitely had to have killed, like, three of those guys, because he's, like, shoots the gun out of his hand, shoots through the windshield of that. So, I mean, three of those guys are just at least shot or killed, you know?
Yeah, no, totally.
Easily.
And then the next note I have is that he insists on shaving on day 2 of camping. Like, he couldn't not shave for 12 hours. It's, like, nuts. I mean, it is a funny joke of, like, using a razor.
His skin looks so thick. I just can't imagine hair even being able to, like,
poke through.
Just so tanned. And,
totally.
All right. So then I need to talk about Sue's outfit.
The skirt that like just has family of tarantulas living up of it. Like
she has like a wilderness skirt with a slit.
Yeah.
And a bathing suit with side boob, which we don't even know the extent of the bathing suit until the...
We find out, though.
The most uncomfortable bathing suit to be wearing
you
around.
You can't wear a bathing suit like that casually. You should not wear a bathing suit like that in the heat for that long. It's bad for your body parts.
It looks insane.
Because they're hiking. They are hiking in the book. This isn't even, like just the, yeah.
It's offering her backpack, like on that, just like chafing her side boob.
It's offering her no support anywhere. Just fabric where fabric shouldn't be. It's the worst.
Yeah. It was great. God. It was great.
I mean, yeah, there's a payoff to it. Yeah.
And she's like, so yeah, you know what? I'm going off on my own.
Right.
I rewound it and I was like, wait, why? What is happening? She goes off on her own. She shoots at his foot. He doesn't even flinch, which is insane.
From the hip. She shoots at his foot from the hip. Yeah. Which is just, he has no more toes.
Is that a prop shotgun? Like, what is she using? And then, like, why does she go off on her own? Where is she going?
That she can handle herself.
This is that sort of like brassy broad that instantly becomes damsel in distress. It's just,
it's so weird. It's unprovoked. I didn't understand it. Yeah.
Yeah. He was like, hey, it's a tough world out here for men. And she's like, oh yeah, I'll show you what a tough world for men is. I'm leaving.
That doesn't make any sense.
Her voice
His mild. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, there's something about her voice and the way that she talks. It's just, like, completely effective.
Yeah,
reminds
me
of watching an old-time movie.
Totally. Is the next part, then, where she reveals that she's wearing a bathing suit half a day?
Right, because she decides to fill up her water bottle in swamp.
In a puddle. In a swamp that comes up to her shins, so she strips down. Go into a swamp to fill up, like, absolutely dysentery water.
Yeah.
It's so nuts.
The way she takes her fashion skirt off is so dramatic, and nobody ever takes their clothes off that way. Nobody.
Unless you know that a older blonde man is watching you through the woods.
You don't ever bend at the waist and then pull a skirt off. It just doesn't make any sense. Yeah. You could just pull it straight down.
That's for the 70-year-old ninja following her. She takes off her shoes, which for me, as you know, that's just a no-no. You're wading into water. You have no idea what's in there, and you're taking off your shoes.
No. Keds, which she wore to a
also
jungle experience.
Also great for a long-distance hike. The dysentery she was going to get from drinking that water was much more dangerous than that crocodile.
Yeah, it's like murky. Ugh, gross. Yeah, totally. Yeah. And then the crocodile comes up, and it's like really like yeah. How does that not even? How does that not snap her neck? She's just going. It's scary for sure.
Yeah,
the crocodile, I laughed out loud
when the crocodile came out.
Well, it was like this beautiful puppet, and
yeah,
and he was like, "Hey."
Well, I actually kind of was thinking before that happened, I was like, man, this movie gives a lot of time to breathe, because it was like a long time with her not talking, not doing much of anything, but being kind of like wilderness dumb. And then it was like a crocodile came out of nowhere, which was exciting.
Because I'd forgotten how long it'd been before, since someone had spoken, because we actually had subtitles on, because my couchmate while watching this couldn't understand a word that any
I
also was having a hard time understanding,
because at the beginning of the movie I was just translating after each line, and then I was like, let's just turn
some of it is a little bizarre, like especially in the bar.
And then the other point is, as she was getting sort of strangled by her canteen, Nora was just saying, just duck your head and it'll fall off.
That's what I thought. Like, if you duck it, and I don't know if she was, I know, I was thinking about that. It was like, is she so locked in that she can't even, but she was struggling. I mean, I thought that too. Just like,
I don't worry about putting my head closer to the crocodile.
Exactly.
I guess that's the thing, but if she didn't, it just felt like either A, how is that strap not breaking? B, you're gonna like snap your neck out. Like, yeah. So then, yeah. Of course, Paul Hogan is thankfully stalking her.
Well, he's been following her the whole time.
He's been following her. So he comes out of nowhere, and she, like Phil, you said very astutely, becomes the damsel in distress immediately and just goes into his arms.
She has like a switch on her that just, yeah.
Yeah, and then he like slowly stabs the crocodile, like, which is like, woo, that's a rough way to kill a crocodile. But
yeah.
But then it's interesting because like, we didn't talk about this, but in like when they get off the boat and he like checks Wally's watch and he's like, oh, it's 2:20. You can tell where the sun is. That's how we tell time here. And then like Wally, you know, like he's cheating because of Wally's watch. I'm like, is he just like a total con artist? But then you're like, well, he does know how to kill the shit out of a crocodile.
Right.
So it's an interesting thing that they do with him. Like, because at first I was like, is this all a con? Is he just going to kill her? And then, and then also what we've forgotten to mention is like, they tell us that he's been raised by aboriginals. He was raised in the bush by a tribe.
Right.
Which I have to say, I was expecting the worst not holding up of of all time, and it wasn't that bad.
No, I thought original thing. Fine, you know,
I don't know enough about it to even weigh in, probably. But I looked up the. I mean, is that where we are now? Where the actor?
Yeah, we are. He like
right. The well, guy the comes first, into his first he goes to check her butt.
Oh yeah,
and she gets on in a prone position.
Right. Yeah.
She's just presenting her rear, and then suddenly she's terrified again.
Right.
But then it's our friend. It's a friend.
Yeah, so they kind of do this bait and switch where then Crocodile Dundee comes up with him with a knife, and then it seems like maybe they know each other from childhood or they know each other. But he's also kind of like a city dweller who lives in the bush. And I looked up that actor, and he was also, he's kind of like one of the more, like the most famous, I think, Aboriginal actors. Like he was in Rabbit Proof Fence. So you're like, well, hopefully if this guy's involved, hopefully there's like some kind of like input that he's able to give like about that dance, about other things.
I've got to think so.
All I'm saying is I was expecting way, way, way worse.
Yeah.
And so I was like holding my breath and I was like, okay, this guy is the good guy. This isn't like some like savage thing. So anyway, I don't know.
So we have that. She like tries to photograph him. He notices, sees her and stuff like that. Oh, I guess this happens at the sort of the lake that they find. I think it was just sort of the him cranking up, him hitting on her like a bunch, which I think is exactly what a woman wants when she's alone with her guide. She wants him to just really put on the moves.
The best time to do it, the best time to do it is when you are dependent on that person for your own safety and survival and you're really out of your element. That's when the strike while the iron is hot. Scared.
Yeah, you're really scared of everything. You're not sure what to trust. You don't know what to eat.
Scared, you know? Vulnerable, like, have no agency. That's where you're doing it.
You're starved because you haven't eaten it. Like, is everything a joke? Do I eat these things? And then you pull out a can? Like,
oh,
what are
we? Yeah.
I think there was even like a It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia episode. Basically, Dennis being the serial killer that he is, he gets a boat and wants to bring women on there so he can like proposition them because they won't say no because of the implication. And that's basically this. It's like there's this huge implication. If you don't go with this pass, this man with a knife and a gun, who's your only trying to get it out of, it's just like, don't, all of the wilderness guides out there listening to our podcast, don't do this.
Well, it's a little Carol Baskin reminiscent, because if you recall from Tiger King,
I recall everything from Tiger
King. She goes with her first husband because he had a gun on her front, on the front seat of his car, which he let her hold while they drove around.
Yes,
that croc gave her a gun to hold.
That's right.
That's how you really win a woman.
Good,
that's,
connect.
I felt very romantic.
Nice.
Yeah.
I guess it's about time for us to
jump
to New York City.
We're jumping to New York, which I don't understand why. Why does he go to New York? I don't get it. I don't understand.
I kept asking that. I was like, wait, Did I miss something? Why are they going?
This is my question. I know why she's going back to New York, but why is it part of the story? Is now her story like a fish out of water story, like reversal? Like,
yeah,
that's part of it.
Rave reviews by the women and men on the street,
which is
about, you know,
but
this,
I have a question about
edition.
That.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. I didn't realize she had been writing articles and sending them to New York. Like, how
it's very
was she
confusing.
Writing them? What was she writing it on? Napkins. How was she sending it? I mean, yeah. She had that tape recorder, okay, which she only took out once and then was interrupted.
Right, yeah.
So did she, yeah, that didn't make any sense to me. And like, were people that bored in the 80s that they like just didn't have anything else to focus on?
I mean, I gotta tell you though, in an ironic twist, I mean, Crocodile Dundee in the 80s, I think, is Tiger King in modern day, right? Okay. I think it's the same story. I think that's what we're dealing with.
Yeah.
All right.
Touché.
I guess so. All right.
But
so,
I don't know if there was that little media in the 80s that, like, this, like, opinion column in the New York Times.
Or
yeah, I was having a hard time with the timeline, too, because I thought she was building up to do this, like, giant, like, ethnography on him. And then it was like, oh, I guess this has been, like, a week-by-week, like, column on the Crocodile Man. I don't know.
She must have hung out in Walkabout Creek for a while after they got back from this, like, three-day journey.
Two-day, right, yeah.
Right.
Monday to, like, Wednesday.
Yeah. The whole, what day is it, Waltz, yeah. Which,
yeah.
I mean, say what you will about Mick Dundee, but he is sort of endearingly charming in those sort of throwaway lines.
Totally, sure. Totally.
I mean,
so,
this charm to it's just
so
super bizarre.
So now they're in New York, which has 7
wait,
million...
before we get there, I want to talk about that airplane, which was so spacious. I know it was a transcontinental flight, but think about what's happened to airplane. I mean, they were in like luxury recliners.
I
guess it's just a hint to how rich she is.
She's super rich. Yeah,
she's,
I think
so
that's what it
rich.
Is. Right. I guess you're right. I was just like, wow, it's so fancy. And we see that he doesn't know what an escalator.
Yeah. Yes. Which I guess is. I was trying to think of it, and like, I guess he does spend all of his time in Walkabout Creek.
He says he's never been to a city.
He's never even been to his, yeah, right. What a mind fuck, right? To go from not having been to Australian City in the 80s to going to New York City. Who,
so is this like a Tarzan story?
Yeah. I mean, they even say that, right?
Basically, doesn't, yeah, it
doesn't
is.
Does she say, right. Why do I always feel the Jane to your Tarzan or something?
Oh, they do? Okay.
She says that at some point.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like a fish out of water story. Annie was saying that it really reminded her of Romancing the Stone, which I've not seen.
Ooh, that is, I think that's going to be on one of my lists.
Yeah, we looked it up. It came out a couple of years before this. So she was like, I wonder if this kind of inspired it. Because she had not seen it either. But she's like, this is like a very similar plot.
What about Splash? That's a real fish out of water story. Am I right?
That's really funny.
Yeah, it is.
That's very funny.
Oh, I've seen that one a bunch too.
Oh, that would be good to rewatch. I have a note though, then when they come, they get out of the airport at New York and they, I mean, she's greeted by her boyfriend. They make out great. I guess it's kind of when we realize that they're definitely
did
together.
She tell him, you know, because I assumed that they did it back in Australia.
It's hard to know. I know we were saying,
I don't
like,
think they did do it, but then when she's like comes in the hotel room with the leg, that's when I was like, oh, maybe they did do it. I don't know,
because that's confusing too. Well, I have a note about that later, but like, they do say that New York City, like a city of 7 million people, but doesn't it have 30 people today? Like, I mean, I know it's in 86. Obviously, the population could have grown, but I was like, only 7 million? I think that it has, I'll look it up right now. I just think it has a lot of people. That's all I'm saying. I just noted that, like, 7 million.
But that was, like, 30 years ago, so.
Yeah. Anyway.
We meet Mr. Winslow. Hey!
Yeah.
That was fun.
That's my backdrop.
Croc asks him what tribe he's in, which he gets away with, which is a kind of a upsetting question, right? But then you think, okay, well, he was only like around tribe.
I think it works because, I mean, it's designed to be like, oh, he's putting his foot in his mouth. Like, it was written to be that sort of an offensive thing to say.
Right.
Yeah. But it's coming from genuine place. I mean, that's the whole shtick of this movie, is that
he's like fumbling.
I Some things he gets away with, like this one. Other things, which we'll talk about later, I don't think he gets away with by being just this sort of like genuinely naive person.
Yeah.
But yeah,
there's a scene about a bidet.
Yep. Which I guess that hotel actually doesn't have bidets. I rushed
the Plaza.
So lots of people having watched this movie searched the hotel and could not find any bidets in that fancy hotel. Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, that's
funny that was even there because it's not a really American thing.
That's what Annie was saying. She was like, I bet there's more bidets in Australia than in the US.
Yeah. But
yeah. My next note is, why is Crocodile Dundee here? But I'm just like, what?
For the article. It's for the article. Ongoing article series, which I think was a thing. So,
He turns on the TV in the room, and I like the joke of, like, I turned on the TV once at my mate's house, and then it turns it on. It's like Lucille Ball, and it's like, yep, that's what was on. It's kind of funny. That was a funny joke.
Wasn't that a crappy TV for the quality of, I know TVs that advanced.
1986.
But at the same time, that looks like a really crappy TV for that fancy hotel.
Yeah, I mean, I had a note that hotel looked terrible. It looked like a grandma's house.
I feel like all TVs look the same until they suddenly didn't.
Like flat screen.
Maybe just forgetting it. So
I think it could be all that shitty. Like, or they were in those like big, wood units.
I think also because they turn on a black and white show, it might have looked different if it had been.
Sure.
But then the next. Note I have is that just the boyfriend is such a sleazeball.
Yeah.
Because they go to meet him and he's like checking out a girl. And that's like where it signals to the audience, like, by the way, this is Bradley Cooper in Wedding Crashers. So you feel free to hate him and not give a shit whether or not Sue and him end up together. So it kind of gives the audience permission to very much root for Sue and Crocodile Dundee.
Which, as someone was saying earlier, that's just always the case with 80s boyfriends, is that they check all the worst boxes. I'm thinking of like The Wedding Singer. I mean, not that that was a movie in the 80s. I mean, that was just sort of highlighting that trope of like the boyfriend is always the worst.
He also just like has that snobby villain. Like his father probably bought the ski town and turned it into a strip mall. You know, like he's just the jerk.
I just want to talk about a little bit moment of Croc's white privilege. When he climbs onto the signpost in New York, and then the cop comes to help him and takes machete and then rides him back to his hotel.
Yeah.
No problem. Yeah. Questions.
I was definitely thinking that same thing. That would only have happened for a white guy.
I was thinking of that too. Actually, there's a fascinating article I read about Tiger King with the same thing, with white privilege and like only white people can have a reality show about them committing crimes and just put on Netflix. But I was thinking the same thing later on in this movie when Carl Winslow like rams those guys with his car, and I was like, ooh, what is gonna happen here? And I honestly did the mental calculation of like, well, he's with Crocodile Dundee, who's white, so I guess, you know what I mean, like it was.
Yeah.
So yes, the white privilege is definitely a big part of this.
Also, we have sort of the dinner with the boyfriend, and he, Crocodile Dundee, gets fed up with his shit and punches him, which is his MO of just like decking guy decking anyone.
So does he punch him or does he like get his shoulder? What's the magic trick?
It's
like,
weird because I was asking about that scene because you don't see it happening. It's a very strange cut where like he's like, hey, look, I want that food over there. And
he
then
does it really quick.
And then she looks away and then he's like, poof.
Also, he's just sucker punching people. You know?
Yeah.
Which,
like when they're not looking. Like,
you've offended me. I'm going, let's fight. It's just like, hey, look over there, and then just decks them. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. I wrote down at that dinner that like it looks like they're having dinner at like the Rainforest Cafe. It's like the most corny. It's like toucans in the background. The boyfriend is dressed like a Miami drug dealer. He's got like full white suit on. And I absolutely didn't mind him getting punched in the face because he's such an ass at dinner.
Yeah.
And you're definitely rooting for Crocodile Dundee. But then I was also kind of like in the cabaret home, and like, why is Sue so unconcerned about this guy? Cause this guy like went from functioning to concussion, and then she's annoyed that he says he's going to throw up. And I'm like, he's going to throw up because he's like, has a concussion.
He clearly does not care about him at all.
Yeah. She was indicative by the whole
hotel towel incident where she just clearly didn't care anymore.
And then they go to that bar where the most like transphobic, the whole scene is
First of all, I'm gonna set up the good parts.
Go ahead.
Like the bar, much like the bar in Who Framed Roger Rabbit, is generally, you know, mixed races. At first, you know, everyone's very tolerant of having a transgender person in there. It's very much fine. And I was like, oh, you know, this is holding out better than I was thinking that it would. And then, of course, it takes... I knew what was coming.
Oh, yeah. Then takes a nosedive. Yeah. I mean, I definitely know what you're talking about. Like, it's like New York City, 1986, and everybody is hanging out in this same place. So that is really cool. And then the F-bomb is dropped, which doesn't make any sense. And I wonder if it makes sense to Crocodile Dundee, because I'm like, does that mean cigarette? Like, I don't know what he thinks that word means.
I like how you say Crocodile Dundee.
the Dundees from The Office. I think that's probably what I'm saying.
Yeah, I think it's Crocodile Dundee. Yeah.
Dundee.
Dundee. And then he, like, grabs the transgendered person's penis, I guess.
Yeah.
And then she runs out. And then, like, I can't tell if everybody's laughing at Dundee for not knowing. Or are they laughing at what happened? It's kind of unclear.
I think they're laughing. I took it as, like, they're laughing at what happened. They're laughing at the
transgender person.
Yeah. That really sort of blew this sort of idealistic version of this bar that they were barely tolerating her.
And
completely laughed her out of the bar.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's like a really heavy, weighted, intense setup for a joke.
Yeah.
Yes. Right.
And it shows, like, because at first I was like, but I didn't realize that Croc didn't know that was a transgendered woman, because I was like, oh, he's just like picking her up, you know,
which would have been awesome.
Because he is not just like,
that's the part. So after that, I mean, to tie into kind of like the point, after that he meets like two prostitutes that are basically Betty Boop. Like, it's like the most like, hey sister, like 1930s prostitutes. And what I couldn't tell, like, the transgender stuff would, I guess, make sense in Walkabout Creek, that probably he's not really met a lot of transgender people. But, like, prostitutes, I was like, there's no way that this guy doesn't know what a prostitute is. And so that was, like, hard to understand, like, is he still a fish out of water here?
Well, seeing how rough, like, the other people in that bar looked, you know, I've got to think that the Walkabout Creek prostitutes also look really, really rough.
Maybe
these are someone with maybe that's what threw.
Yeah,
them off.
These women were very fetching,
very done up, very like central casting,
and going to like high rolling elite parties later on.
And reading the New York Times.
Yeah, right. Yes.
Yes, it's
play by play.
Pretty Woman era of prostitutes where they are very well read, very educated, but just want to be prostitutes.
Yep.
Have to be. And then he like drunk drives in the taxi.
Because I mean, sure, the Italian guy's super wasted, but Crocodile Dundee's drunk as well. I mean they can hold their liquor, those Australians, but they're not, you know, gods that can not get drunk.
The next note I have is him being in the bathtub and just a reminder that, like, you can't just wash your socks with soap, wring them out, and then they're clean. Like, I hope he's, like, is he planning to add water to them later? I was like, this doesn't work at all. You have to, like, soap and then water afterwards. So, anyway, I don't know what his plan was.
That's true.
We also see that he's been sleeping on the floor.
Which makes zero sense.
Stabbing his clothes up with a knife, which if that housekeeper came in and didn't report him,
yeah,
he's like the scariest person.
Well, also what I loved is he was being very self-conscious and like ashing cigarette in his hat because he didn't want to mess up that place. But he was perfectly fine with just shoving a knife into the wall to put up a hanger.
And then it like begs the question, like, where is he sleeping on a daily basis? Because that camping trip was Monday to Wednesday. And he must have a bed or a cot or a hammock. Like, I didn't really understand the sleeping on the floor thing. It's cute, but it doesn't quite add up. And then it's like that whole leg trick. Like, how is it better that it's her and not the housekeeper? Like, she's with this boyfriend. It was just like a weird prank to play on the guy you're doing a story about.
With an accent.
Oh, also, yeah. I mean, don't get me started. That accent was rough.
Yeah. When did he meet the housekeeper? He was obviously out till like 3 a.m. Right. And then this is like 9 in the morning. And so
and also, he was going to sleep with those prostitutes. So like, why not sleep with this housekeeper who's great? I just understand that. I just didn't get
it. You don't know she's great, Katie. Come
on.
She's great.
She
brought him towels.
Yeah. Brought him towels, didn't mind that he's stabbing holes in the wall. Like, I guess that's not, she's not a great housekeeper. She's a great person.
She shouldn't have known because I assume he did that at like 5 in the morning. Just
who knows? Blackout,
and she hasn't been in that room yet. Or I guess.
I also have a note about Sue, and it was kind of before for when they went out to dinner, but then I have it again. Like, I have like face blindness with her. I never know if it's her. Like, I can't, like, sometimes she looks like Natasha Richardson. Sometimes she looks like Gina Davis or Meg Ryan or Greta Gerwig. And I'm like, who is she? And then she'll show up and I'm like, oh, is that the protagonist? Or is it another blonde woman in New York City?
You know how to identify her? And I wrote this down, but I didn't get to talk about it earlier. It is by her.
Go on.
Well, and this is something that's very true since we've been watching a lot of movies from the 80s and other decades prior to now, obviously, is that the teeth on these actors are so much more imperfect.
Oh, interesting.
Than you would be allowed to get away with in today. So today, like, a lot of actors have veneers or like very perfect teeth.
Yeah.
And like very bright white.
Very bright white, but also this level. And she had like bigger front teeth and they're very gray.
Oh.
Telling of her age, and that is not, especially with all that red lipstick she was wearing in the bush.
Yeah. I didn't notice that, but that's a good tell.
Yeah, it's a good tell. And like, yeah, they all just kind of have, and it's something that like I love about these movies is that it's not an important, you know, it's like also you know, juicy booties were in the 80s, but not like they are now, but still you're supposed to have like a perfect body. And I did like that her juicy booty like had some cellulite on it.
Yeah, I noticed that too, especially with the bathing suit that she chose. And I, yes.
The string that went up her ass crack.
Yeah.
I'm not interested in that. Although,
while we're on the fashion talk, she had some high-waisted pants that she was pulling off, you know?
Yeah. That fashion's also like coming back. I also noticed that she had gloves with a watch on the outside in like the first scene. I don't know if you guys like noticed that, but it was like a pair of gloves that have a watch built into it, which is fun.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
My favorite scene, which it's not my favorite scene, but it's just bizarre that so many people were gathered to watch a man get a haircut. Haircut. I don't know what. That was like, again, it's New York City. Like, there's so much happening, and like that is where. But again, Joe Exotic, look at his hair.
Yeah, I kind of thought about that too with Crocodile Dundee walking through. Like, it is like he would be so unnoticed in New York City because he looks like every other crazy person in New York City.
Yeah, and then,
he throws a can.
Yeah,
purse.
I love that.
Which I just had the note that. He definitely wrote this movie because he's good at everything, you know.
Yeah.
He can spear fish, he can kill crocodiles, he can just randomly judge a person weaving through a crowd. and hit them with that can. Like, he would have just beamed a random person is what would have happened, and he would have gotten that horse cop would have come and arrested him, is basically what would have happened.
So then they're at this, like, high rolling party, right?
Yeah.
So
Sue's dress
yeah, is was insane.
Like a whole side of side boob.
It was just, like, yeah. Jessica Rabbit's dress. Sue goes to the party as Jessica Rabbit.
Her body was made out of less just random mashed potatoes.
Yeah, exactly. So here is my big question at this party.
Okay.
And we are really the group, me, Alyssa, and Annie that I watched it with, were very undecided about the person whose crotch Crocodile Dundee grabs. Is that a man dressed as a woman?
I think it's a woman. It's an older woman. That's my take. I have no idea, but my take is that it's an older woman.
I thought it was a transgender man, and then he just wants to make sure. Sorry. Yes, of course. So I thought it was a transgender woman, like an older transgender woman.
Yes.
Who he just grabs the crotch, feels a penis, and then was just like, I just want to be sure. I just want to be on the same page as everyone. But we were very split because Alyssa thought was on Phil's page of like, I just want to be sure. Great, it's a woman. It's just an older woman that kind of looks like a drag queen.
That's my take. He looked a little mannish, and he was like, okay, I guess I have to check every time.
Then that person is like, oh, I should go to Australia. So I was like, does this woman love getting grabbed, or is it a transgender woman? Is it a transgender woman that loves being? I don't know. I was like so confused at what was going on.
Really, some like Australian.
Yeah. It doesn't hold up, but
no. My take
is that older woman, and that she feels that this 70-year-old Paul Hogan is hitting on her, which makes her feel great.
It doesn't hold up so much that I don't understand what's going on, like, at all. I don't know what it is. But we were also saying that it's kind of rough because Sue's explanation is like, he's Australian. And you're like, man, what a rough movie for Australians. Like, if I was Australian, I would not be super happy. But yeah. Okay.
They're ex-criminals, you know?
I guess so.
But then he redeems himself to help the man with his sinus problems.
Right, yeah.
That wouldn't work, right? Like, that would just ruin that cocaine.
That whole, like, exposition about cocaine was so fascinating. It was like, it's cocaine. Everybody's doing it. Like, we're all on cocaine.
And yeah.
He's in New York. Everybody's doing cocaine.
Sue is doing a lot of cocaine, yeah.
Sue probably is, and it's like...
That's how she was so skinny.
And you're also kind of, like, mad at Sue for not preparing him at all for anything.
Like, well, she's doing it all for the article. She wants him to screw up like this.
So she
probably had the bidet installed specially into this hotel. You know, she made sure that the person that he might get confused about she's instigating these sexual...
That's, like, what it seems like. And then I have... the note that, like, the next thing that happens is that, like, he calls Walt to tell him he's gonna stay longer, and then Walt's like, okay, I need you to take care of all the business there. And then Walt's like, sure, no problem. And then I'm like, what business? Like, what? Like, Walt needs to go fishing? Like, what?
Well,
is
no,
it
they that- they do tourism.
He's a I see
jungle guy.
I just learned that.
Yeah.
Okay, great. So Walt's gonna do the jungle tours, or he's gonna get some other lunatic to do that. Okay.
And he kind of has like a little moment where his friends a little home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he's jonesing for this lady. And then of course this is the fancy, that end of the sort of typical 80s party, which I did have one note that I think that there is an Andy Warhol person in the background. I don't know if it's supposed to be or whatever.
Interesting.
But they leave that party, and then we have the famous "That's not a knife."
This scene. Is a knife, which he kind of reveals himself to be like a good humored guy. He slices his soup, but he's like, "Yeah, they're just kids wanting to have a fight in the street," you know. Like, he's just like, "They're great," you know, just all in a day, kids being kids. So whatever.
Kids doing a Michael Jackson video.
That guy
was dressed exactly like Thriller. Yeah.
Like, beat it.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Right. And then they end up going to her house, right? And like revealing that it's the biggest house that's ever existed. And
before
her boyfriend.
Before that, though.
Oh, sorry.
Before that, she's daydreaming at her word prompt, thinking about how he saved her from a fight last night, the romantic time they had.
Oh.
And then we meet her creepy dad.
Oh, yes. Right.
He's going to French kiss her in the office.
Yeah.
We see that dad clearly is into creepy boyfriend, and that, like, you know, that's when I was like, oh, is this the, I was like, oh, dad wants to meet Croc. What could go wrong? Like, he's really into the creepy boyfriend. Like, maybe this is what's going to happen is, like, we see the, like, dad's not into, but the dad was nice enough to Crocodile Dundee. He wasn't mean to him or anything. And, like, that's not the plot either.
It does seem very much like a Wedding Crashers plot where, like, Christopher Walken, like, for show, loves Bradley Cooper as a boyfriend, but ultimately is like, nah, he's kind of an asshole. Like, you know, like, I don't know if Sue's dad really likes the kiss-up boyfriend. I don't know. Maybe he does.
Yeah, I don't know.
He says he does. He's really into it. I mean, lets him propose in front of that room full of strangers.
But that's what happens in Wedding Crashers. Okay. I can stop making a pair comparison to that.
Right. And he never says yes.
Oh, yeah, exactly. That he doesn't even wait for her to say yes.
Kind of strategic, yeah.
Also, totally. The proposal is basically, I have not been able to control you as your editor, so it's I will be worst. Able to control you as your husband.
It's terrible. In front of a bunch of people they don't know. And I also have a note that says, like, he wears the worst suits. Now he's dressed like Dumb and Dumber. Like, he has this, like, powder blue, terrible suit. I'm so confused. As somebody who doesn't know anything about fashion, I'm still confused. Like, she's dressed for a black tie wedding. Some people are dressed like they're going on a yacht in, like, a summer afternoon. It's very confusing.
Yeah.
And the place, it's, like, such a nice house, but, like, all the chairs that they're in are kind of, like, old and stained and gross. Like, it's really confusing.
I did not notice the chairs, but
it's weird. Yeah, they're, like, old upholstery. It's just, like, I feel like these people would have nicer things, but I don't know.
So then, of course, Mick gets all heartbroken because of this party, and...
I just want to say, during the party, though, we don't see that, really. She looks over at him, and he's, like, completely having a conversation with that other woman. It doesn't seem sad. He's like, I'm fine. I'm making noise with the neighbors.
Faking it. I don't know.
Anyway, that's what I thought. But he is sad.
So he gets dropped off in Times Square to do
which
some drinking.
I guess that day was a lot seedier, so.
Yeah, I think it was, right? Yeah.
Yeah, then.
And then he, like, runs into that pimp that just looks like a vampire. It's like...
Yeah. And then you get the bump, bump, bump music.
I absolutely thought that pimp was going to start singing. It was building up. It's like, no, don't you go. Like, it was really crazy. And then they didn't, obviously. But.
And he was dressed like... Just like you went to Party City, all of those characters were like prostitute, and you picked one off. Like,
yeah,
totally. From the '80s,
sexy nurse.
Yeah, Crocodile Dundee thinks generally there's like blonde brunette prostitute on the street, so he just assumes, even though he's probably like, you know, 30 blocks from where he met those other two, or probably in a different borough, this must be the same two people.
Right. Yeah.
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 But of course, Carl Winslow to the rescue.
Who kills those men with his car. He just runs them over.
He didn't even need to. The guy was running away, and he was like, not on my watch.
I was worried about Carl Winslow.
And now his limo is ruined.
Well, and then he, like, it's a kind of a fun boomerang reference that they don't even really call out. But he, like, takes the end and, like, boomerangs him, and
unnecessarily, though, the guy's running away, but he just really wanted, you need to pay for fight.
And then we go back to the giant house where Sue is dressed like Jackie Kennedy in her own home, like, just so many scarves and gloves and glasses just go out of the house. But
she's rich, don't you know? That's important.
She becomes, like, more rich once the audience realizes she's rich. The movie definitely lets you know she's rich a lot. Yeah. So,
And it went probably in, more in the first half, but I wonder if there were more allusions to like African Queen and like Audrey Hepburn of just, I think that same sort of dynamic. I mean, I'm sure this movie pulls and then dumbs down a lot of sort of tropes from better movies. But yeah,
I think, I mean, her having money does give better context to the first half of the movie is like why she's allowed to spend so much time doing this.
Right.
It doesn't make any sense otherwise.
So yeah, he goes on his little walkabout.
To the subway.
Yes.
Leaves his knife with the doorman.
That was fun. I liked that exchange when they're like doing the Australian and American to each other. That's kind of fun.
That was cute.
Yeah, the doorman's cute.
Yeah, the doorman is cute.
And then, yeah, we get
a cute doorman in a movie, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you know.
Again, then, Pretty Woman, hotel concierge, doorman.
Right.
Although when she calls the hotel and the woman's like, he's checked out, we're really going to miss him. And I'm like, you didn't talk to him. Like, there was no, we didn't know that. They weren't hanging out.
Yeah, I know.
Goes back to that whole housekeeper thing. I mean, he is using his time efficiently to meet and greet just constantly.
I mean, it's true that he does, every time we're with him, he is like meeting somebody different, you know, introducing himself to a random New York City dweller, I suppose.
I wonder where that guy is now that he greeted first, like the street guy. You know, he was like,
who does like the double take at the end?
Right. Yeah, what was that long double take for him? What was it about?
Yeah, right. That didn't
he
make any...
He stared at him for like 5 minutes while he was there. Then he left. And then suddenly he could be pulled away from his conversation. Was like,
huh? It was...
His brain like,
it was, that was bizarre. And so then she's like running in heels to the subway.
Throws them down.
She takes one of them off.
Yep.
Throws it in front of her.
It's just nuts. And then she like gets past the turnstile and this like random lunatic at the newsstand molests her in front of the two people at the newsstand that could give like no little like...
Mm-hmm.
Like, they don't care at all that this woman is being, like, physically harassed. It's so weird.
All strange. Very strange.
It's very much like a 80s view of the city. Where, like,
and the minute street performer was like, I'll just move my hat over to, like, make money.
Right. Yeah,
You can't just stand right in front of the turnstile and do your, like, robot dancing and make money. You're in the way.
It doesn't make any sense.
Very crowded. So crowded.
Huh?
I said that platform was like the most crowded platform I've ever
seen. It's never been that crowded.
No, never.
Like that is insane to just be packed with people like
it's
that.
Dangerous. I mean,
like, yeah, that looked more like what how a train is crowded, not how a platform is crowded.
Right.
And so we have, that game of telephone. That's not a game of telephone that actually works.
Yeah, it's funny. That scene still gets me, even though it's cheesy and whatever.
It is funny. You have, like, the requisite construction worker in every movie about New York.
Now, Philip, did you have an emotional reaction to that scene?
I did. Yeah, I did. I was like,
I don't want to call out other people that had emotional reactions to that scene. But
uh-oh.
I did not have an emotional reaction to that scene, and I wonder, Katie, did you?
An emotional reaction?
Yeah.
It was cute. I didn't have an emotional reaction. No.
So I want to know what that's.
I think it's just like the nostalgia that's there and just like, I don't know. Like this is like the first feelings of emotion because I was 6 or 7
when it
came out.
Go ahead. Yeah. Like, as a kid watching this, I can imagine you not knowing what was going to happen, and then it works out. Like, as adults watching it, you're like, I'm pretty sure they're going to end up together. But I can tap into a perceived nostalgia about it.
Yeah. And I think
that's a very sweet scene.
It's sweet.
Yeah, and just the sweetness that both the black guy and the construction worker... And I assume the Indian that's like the next person.
Yeah, right.
That they're like they're invested in it as well. And you're just they like.
Yeah.
Except.
Whereas
on everybody's head as he's walking through in a very painful way.
That would not work.
doesn't work. You can't. Annie and I just binged the series Cheer. I don't know if you guys watched it or not.
Yes.
No.
The difficulty in holding somebody up for a second.
Yeah.
Like when you mosh, there's a reason that people mosh on their backs. You don't mosh on your feet. And I thought it was so weird because they set us up to believe, I thought that he was going to like monkey bar the eye bar.
Right. Yeah.
And so, and then he walks on people's faces, which is not a thing that happens on Earth. It's so weird.
Sort of on their shoulders. And he's wearing like cowboy boots with like heels. So
like
it's not
spurs. Right. I was like, what are we seeing? It's so
they would have thrown him on the third rail. That's for sure.
Totally.
Yeah. That was great. I thought they were going to just carry him on his back across.
It's also so unnecessary because people, as ridiculously crowded as that platform is, people are getting through. So just walk back.
Also, a train is going to come and everyone's going to disappear. And then you just be like,
wait 30 seconds. There's
I assume
no
the
stakes.
Amount of people, it must be rush hour. And therefore a train is coming sooner
She's
rather than
later. There. She's just going to wait by the steps. Like she should have just been like, it's okay. I'll just wait here. It's okay.
Yeah.
Just wait.
We'll see in a minute.
Love can't wait, guys. Love can't wait.
Yeah. And it is sweet. Yeah. And they get together and then it's the end of the movie.
And it's just the end suddenly, and I was shocked.
Yeah.
It was like a frozen kiss, and the movie was over, and the credits were.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Woo!
I think we can jump into our HBDs.
All right. Yeah.
I'll start with my, let's start with Hummers today.
Okay.
Okay.
My Hummer is that this movie is not about fighting crocodiles like I thought it was. So, yeah, I'll give it that. I expected it to be like an entire movie about a man stabbing crocodiles because they were going after people. And I had no idea that it was a love story. I had no idea that they went to New York. I had no idea any of that. So that's my Hummer.
My Hummer, I wish it could be more specific, but I feel like my Hummer is probably Crocodile Dundee. Cause he, I don't know.
Dundee.
Crocodile Scranton Dundee. Dundee. Crocodile Dundee. I don't know. Now I don't even know the right way to say it. Crocodile Dundee.
Dundee.
Dundee. One, I love Australian accents. But he really is, I mean, I know Paul Hogan wrote this part for himself, but he really is like very good intentioned and good humored and not a jerk. And like he could be, here's my Hummer. I think he could be a, here's my Hummer. I watched this movie called Crocodile Dundee. I think he could be a lot more macho than he was. And he wasn't like insufferably macho.
I agree with that.
Yeah. So that'll be my Hummer, I guess.
Okay. I like that.
I was going to say something very, very similar. So I'm going to just briefly add to that, say something else. It's like, yeah, he definitely, there was some self-deprecation that was thrown in there of just like showing that he's a little bit full of shit with the whole wash thing, with the shaving thing. Mm-hmm. But I mean, so that cuts all the sort of, he's great at everything sort of, I don't know. It always reminds me of like Ayn Rand books where her characters just are literally good at everything and it's insufferable. So it like having this where he's just like, oh, he's sort of full of shit a little bit makes it better. And so instead of doing that one, I will say just the music, when it was like the bad guy songs or him like doing the good job, and I'll pull it up in a second. Man, it brought me back and I was there.
There's just some good synthesizer jams in there in general.
Yeah.
I really like. Also, I think I've spent a lot of time watching like a lot of Chris Lilley. I don't know if you guys know that actor. He did
Summer of course.
Jimmy. And just some other like Australian, the one about the two women, Kath and Kim.
Kath and Kim, yeah.
And like Australian humor is it's different. Like,
yeah, totally.
And friends that I have that are Australian. So even though it's an American movie, right? There's like, his voice is definitely in it and you can hear that. And I don't honestly believe, even though there is history of colonization and things there, it's just, it feels different than the United States in terms of that kind of humor. I don't know. not entirely sure. I don't want to speak to it entirely, but you know what I mean? It's yeah. They just have a very different.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
And I just want to give a little bit of the music. So uplifting and just.
Is this the gunfight?
Is what?
Is this the music from the gunfight?
This is just the theme song.
Okay. Got it.
Maybe it was then.
Interesting.
There's a bunch, because I also love sort of the bad guys coming in song, the bomb, bomb, bomb. Yeah, it's all great. So, yeah, that's my hammer.
Nice. All right, Phil, why don't you pick the next one? You want to do dumbers or bummers?
Let's do dumbers.
All right.
I can start with a dumber. So they're at that super picturesque lake, and he's like killed an iguana, and he's roasted on a fire, and they're about to eat it. He's like cooked some yams and stuff like that, and then he's like, no, this tastes like shit. Well, you just, first of all, killed an iguana, cooked it like for a long time, and then you're gonna have beans. Like, that just makes no sense. First of all, I've had iguana, delicious, you know.
Yeah, it is good.
It's just bamboo chicken, great.
Yeah, it tastes like alligator.
We feel sort of sorry for them. So they're cute, you know, so don't kill one and then just put it to waste. Yeah, so that's my dumber.
Okay.
My dumber is very close in time to yours, I think. And I know we mentioned like camping without a tent. So it's kind of like that, where like the second night that they're out, they're like, it's at night and they're just like sitting on the sand with their like bare feet in the sand, and they're just going to camp there. And I'm like, the night in Australia, in the outback, in the middle of the woods, jungle, in the sand, like, they would be so eaten by everything. And all I could think of was just everything that was like on their feet, up her skirt, in his, you know. So I just was like, this is so dumb. Like, you can't, this is not a beach.
My dumber is 100% her bathing suit.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense. It's so uncomfortable. That's a bathing suit you wear in a Playboy spread, or like just to lay around and do nothing. It is not a hiking bathing suit. It is not a living your best life, period.
Yeah. Agreed.
Yeah. Yeah. I get that. And
bummers. I'm gonna go back to my original bummer, was just that COVID-19 took Mark Blum, even though he was a smarmy, terrible character, he's probably a really nice person.
Yeah,
as I said, all the people that are the worst in the movies usually are the nicest, and then the people that are like the nicest, like Bill Cosby, I'm sure there's a long list, you know, end up being horrible people.
Yeah. Bummers upon bummers.
Bummers on bummers.
My bummer, and this is in direct juxtaposition to Bridget's hummer, is that this movie wasn't more about stabbing and wrestling crocodiles. I can't believe we only saw like two crocodiles and one of them was stuffed. I definitely wanted more crocodiles, and I probably wanted more Australia. I wanted more Australian accents. Like, I was dumbfounded when we spent over half the movie in New York City. I just couldn't believe it. So that's my bummer. So maybe I have to watch Crocodile Dundee 2 Return to Australia.
You do.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I might. I mean, there's so many other things to watch right now. And obviously, I spend a lot of time doing research for our podcast, so I don't want to overextend myself. But yeah, I'm kind of intrigued about the second and third one.
Well, I'll put it on my list. Let's see, for my bummer, I think because I was getting this confused a little bit with Crocodile Dundee 2, I thought there was more Wally, and he has more of a role in the second one, so I was a little bit bummed that we didn't get more of, his Wally-ness, which I'm trying to think, he's like a mashup of like some very, very 80s, like I guess the landlord from Three's Company and Mr. Foley. I want to say, what's that?
Furley,
sorry. Yeah. So yeah, I think my bummer is just not enough of him. And of course, that who knew that the sexual assault wasn't going to hold up Yeah, I mean, oh well. Yeah.
So, well, I do have, do you have any questions, Phil or Bridget?
I have one from, like I said, the person I watched it with, and hers was just, why? Just to this entire movie was just really like,
why
does it exist? Why is the woman so bad?
I guess I have a similar, I have two questions. Well, three questions. One is similar from somebody I watched the movie with, which is my roommate Alyssa, who says, to be honest, still unsure of the actual plot line.
There's no plot line, we discussed. Yeah.
Yeah.
The rom-com.
Also, yeah, lowercase r, lowercase c. Also, why white keds in the Outback? That was her question.
Why would you wear white keds in the Outback? Because you're dumb.
Yeah.
Yeah. All of her decisions were super dumb. Yeah.
Yeah, which is rough, yeah. And then Annie's question, I think I mentioned in the beginning, was what is the Rotten Tomatoes score for it? Like, what do we think? What's our guess as the Rotten Tomatoes score?
I think I saw it when I was doing some research, so I'll go last.
Okay.
Oh, I don't even know how to score something on Rotten. Is it 5?
No, it's
100.
0 to 100.
Oh, okay. And 100 is the best?
Yeah.
Yeah.
86.
Oh, good guess. I was going to go with that too. I guess I'll go with like 80, Phil.
I'm sure I saw like 86 or 87.
Oh my gosh. All right. I'm going to look it up now. I got it queued up, but it's loading. Good. 87. Good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Interestingly, it has an 87% on the tomato meter, but only a 59% audience score. I would have thought the audience score would be way higher.
Hmm. Because
my guess is they didn't do that classic back today, and so it's
maybe older movies the audience score is lower. Anyway, fun fact. Well, good guess, Bridget. Oh my God, did you look it up?
Nope.
That's insane. That's really impressive.
I guess the year it was made.
Oh yeah, good call. Nice.
Thank you.
Okay, and so as far as just because we're going through this box office. It was the second biggest movie of that year, just behind Top Gun and just in front of The Karate Kid Part 2.
Whoa.
Wow.
It's a powerhouse. That's a big year.
And then just behind Karate Kid Part 2 was Back to School, which I don't know if you guys have seen that one, but that may be one of the ones I put on the list as well.
Rodney Dangerfield.
It is a classic.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Good to know.
So yeah, I guess the final question is it for real?
Is it for real? Who's going to go first in this?
Yeah, I think it's for real.
Yeah.
I think the love story, okay, I'm getting this just in.
Oh, wow.
Dundee was Oscar nominated for best screenplay.
Wow.
Is that for real?
It's for real.
Wow. Well, that's nuts.
So that's kind of wild.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to say it is for real. I think there's some fun characters, and I think it's, you know, I think it's a sweet little creepy love story that you know, like, holds true from 1986.
Yeah.
It doesn't, there was a few moments that I cringed, and I hope that those people have learned better out of their ignorance. But yeah, it's for real.
I am going to go with the same opinion. I will say, the transphobic stuff at that bar was like really, I would honestly just encourage people to fast forward that, because that's like really sad. Like, that was not, it wasn't like laughably it didn't hold up. It really was terrible.
Yeah.
If you subtract that, I think because Crocodile Dundee is a charming, good-natured, wanting to learn person, it's a very classic fish out of water story and fun, like a New York, Australia story. So yeah, I would say it's for real.
Yeah, and then I'm going to also say it's for real. Like I said, I had a lot of nostalgia for this, that it came back to me with the music and all that, and I completely forgot that Carl Winslow, you know, the cop from Die Hard was in this, so it was just like, yeah, it was great, except for that one, yeah, the sexual assault that's in there twice.
Yeah, totally.
Take that out, and then you've got a perfectly pleasant 80s movie. And I chuckled several times during this movie, where it's just some good, like, sort of one-liners of, you know, hey, Walt, what's today? You know? So, yeah, I think it's for real.
Yay!
Yay!
All right.
Maybe we got to challenge ourselves, because so far, I mean, we've been, it's for real.
Oh, I've got a list of movies, you know, don't worry.
What are we doing next? Do we know?
Well, this one I think was counted as my suggestion. So mm-hmm. I think we'll just sort of cycle around.
Yeah.
I think, Katie, you're next up, because I picked Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead.
I have two ideas, and it's either, I think, Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, or Indiana Jones, Last Crusade. So we can discuss amongst ourselves, or maybe the audience can weigh in.
Is Indiana Jones The Last Crusade the first Indiana Jones
movie? No, it's the third.
It's the third. The last in the modern era.
It's the one that matters.
Counts. Yeah, totally.
Is that the one that has the ball that rolls down?
No.
No, it's the first one. That is Ark of the Covenant.
Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Oh, talk about some stuff that doesn't hold up. Yeah, we should watch Temple of Doom.
Ugh. Yeah, totally.
All right. Well, Katie, it's your pick next week. So,
all right.
Choose well. I thought we'd end today with we're thinking about Crocodile Dundee, and we're thinking about, you know, what we love about crocodiles, which is that they rock.
Yeah. So let's jump into it.
Nobody can see our dancing, but we're dancing to Crocodile Rock.
Nice.
Well, friends, another great episode of Is It For Real? Signing off.
Bon.
See you next time.